I'm glad you joined me today. We're going to talk with regular on the show, Heather. We're going to talk about martial arts and politics, resiliency, and authenticity. Let's learn how Heather turned multiple defeats into victory through resilience, while at the same time using some lessons she learned from her martial arts training. Let's explore how authenticity, life balance, and planning can lead to huge wins if you just never give up. Let's listen and learn how to embrace the transformative power of failure as a stepping stone to your personal and professional growth. I'm glad you joined me today. This is a good one. Let's get it.
Welcome to the Warrior Mindset Podcast. We are your guide as you make your way through life, getting better 1% every day. We believe that life is lived and true victory won through adversity. Nothing easy is ever worth it. We believe in the warrior ethos and support those that choose to walk that path.
So you sent me a idea talking about failure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just did one on fear. I sat down with Aaron and we talked through some stuff about fear, which I thought was interesting. But, you know, this came up as well, the subject of failure. What made you want to mention that?
Well, I've been writing some speeches to give at events and things like that. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed is a lot of people, based on my background, they're like, you kind of leaned into failing and kind of owning it in learning or adjusting or trying new things and then continuing on. So, and then we were just discussing this over coffee the other day. I'm like, you know, even in martial arts, a lot of times you have to like take risks to learn what your body can and cannot do.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a kick, you have to kind of embrace and fall over sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
Not all the time, but you have to like push yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's how I came about it.
Interesting. Well, yeah. So we've never really talked about, I mean, we've brought it up a couple times, but why don't you, for the sake of the fact that this is a recorded podcast, tell anyone who's listening about your, I don't want to call them failures. I mean, I think you've said that term before, but your first two attempts at running for office.
No, yeah.
And I do want to add the caveat that you won your last one.
I did.
So talk through that.
Yeah. First time I was kind of maybe not naive, but, you know, I really, for the first time, shared my story and opened up to the community about, you know, my background. And most people didn't know where I was really from. They just thought I was some, like, you know, middle class, upper class woman from Beaufort or something. I don't know. But telling my story, they're like, oh, wow, like you're not what I thought you were. And so that was pretty cool. But I really leaned into that and sharing my story, my first campaign. And I think it was good to, you know, set the base of where I was from. But ultimately, you know, I was running against a guy who was well-funded and had the backing of, you know, he's a friend of mine now. I actually knocked his door this weekend. But he had funding and support from the you know, in quote, establishment, I guess.
Right.
And so, you know, I was really going up against a great odd, you know, running in that race. And it would have been even greater in the general. But yeah, I didn't win. It was kind of close, but it was, I didn't see it as a failure though. I was really proud of what I did. And I think I changed the conversation in a lot of ways. And I'm proud of that. So yeah, I was kind of sad for a little bit, but I was like, you know what, you know, F it, let's just keep moving. And I was involved in that general election for help my girlfriend who's running for Congress in the Lowcountry. I did a bunch of different things just to learn more and help. And then I ran again, and that was for city council, lost. And then I, you know, that night you know, I always had the greater good of why I was doing it. But that night, I knew I wasn't going to make it to the runoff. So I called my friend Tyler Bailey, who's running for city council again. I called him. I was like, listen, like, I'm not going to make the runoff. He's like, you don't know that yet, Heather. Because we were both friends at that point. I respect him a lot. He's like, you don't know that. You could still make the runoff. I'm like, listen, I know the numbers. They're not going to work. I want to help you.
Yeah.
He was like, wow. Like, already? But it was like 9 o'clock and I was offering my support. I was out like a day later knocking doors for him. So I kind of, you know, used the platform not to just obviously learn what I, that failure, but I like immediately pivoted, used it and helped someone else. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how cool. I use my failure. I'm like, this is what I learned. This is what I'm talking to people about. He ultimately did not win in the runoff, but he's running again, has a great chance. So good for him running again. He's failed and
sure
he's running again too. So I'm like, go get it, you know? And then the third time I was, you know, I had learned like, you know, identity politics doesn't really work. People don't care so much. I mean, it's good to know like where you're from, but, we had a really tough message. It wasn't about me. It was about, you know, protecting freedom and
yeah.
our rights and things like that, women's rights. And so it was not about me. There wasn't a picture of myself anywhere. And my campaign was like, you know, just so you know, like, this is not going to be about you. And I'm like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay. And people actually were kind of shocked that they're like, you should put your, you know, picture on something, you know, or talk about your bio. And I'm like, no. I've already done that. I've lost twice.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So I also learned that too, like, you know, how to pivot messaging and, yeah, how to win. And I did the third time.
Do you think that you obviously learned, right? You obviously learned some stuff from the first two attempts. Mm-hmm. Do you think the stuff that you learned, because you know, you're smart enough to pay attention to it, made you sort of double down on doing things the way you did the third time?
I think I remained even more true to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like once you have to like repeat what you believe in for 4 years straight,
yeah.
either you believe it or you don't.
Yeah.
And people can see right through that. Right. Voters are not stupid.
Yeah.
They can tell if you're fake or not.
Yeah.
So I also learned, you know, you had a lot of people in your ears. I see where a lot of failures happen, even in life, campaign, work. What I mean, mm-hmm. if you don't really believe something, it eventually will show. You don't put the time in, you don't put the effort in, you don't try. And that people can see through that. Mm. So I learned for sure how to be really true to myself, whether people like that or not.
What sort of things? What it's turning into an interview.
I was gonna say, but what, this is interesting.
But it's interesting because something like what you've done mm-hmm. is very public,
mm-hmm.
right? A lot of I see a lot of people that they're sort of afraid to fail.
Take a risk.
What they're doing is very private. You know, it's like it's not really like this.
That's true. That's a good point.
The stage isn't very large.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Because you're talking about wow. like
yeah.
Like yeah. I'm gonna try to run this 5K. I mean, no, nobody. I mean, really, nobody really cares. Yeah, I mean, it's right. like, you know, if you don't like finish it in the time you want, like what you know, in the grand scheme of things, like it's pretty,
yeah.
it's a pretty small stage, right?
Right?
But what you did was, I mean, you were trying to get everyone in the area to know who you are.
Pretty visible.
Like the whole point is to be public. Pretty. So that's why I find it interesting because it's a lot more public than most things. So what sort of
that's a good point.
So you went through the first two. One was a larger scale.
First one
maybe,
was
maybe
the city council was at large. So
okay,
the first one was
much
district
larger.
Yeah. And larger okay. and then kind of yeah.
I mean, so what sort of things did you do in terms of like self-examination to like come to terms with what you did didn't work? You know what I mean? Was it as simple as like, well, I didn't win, so back to the drawing board, or, you know, what?
I listen to people who have actually done it and won. Mm. That's a good start.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't claim to know everything. I don't claim to know everything in government. I don't claim to know how everything works. Mm. I don't, my ideals might and ideas might change as I learn, but that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Right. So yeah, I lost and I, you know, I had,
it's a good skill to be able to learn.
I think so.
Change your perspective.
And I kind of hate the phrase, you don't fail. What is it? You, if you fail, you learn. If you win, you win, whatever that phrase is.
Well, I don't lose. I either win or I learn.
Yes.
Yeah.
I kind of hate it, but it's kind of true at the same time.
Yes.
It's very true, but
it's not really a statement you should say out loud. It's one you just kind of say in your head.
You should do it. But I do think that back to your comment, I didn't think about it, but like taking risks, I guess. Mm-hmm. I was at an event two nights ago, and a senator who I admire a lot, and she's Republican, and she talked a lot about taking risk in putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
And I think it's all relative.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I think it's all relative. Maybe doing a karate competition for the first time is like a absolute huge deal for me. And actually that was terrifying for me. And that was more scary for me than it was running for office.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. It was terrifying. Okay. Cause like, I think like being a politician or whatever, it's a kind of, it feels like it's not a persona to me because it's really who I am, but it's like, it's a hat I wear.
Right.
It's not who I am.
Yeah. Okay.
That's kind of how I see it.
Okay.
But yeah, I listen. So after the second, I'm like, well, you know, that didn't work. So I listened to people who had done it before and been successful. Mm-hmm. So I was like, why the F not?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm constantly learning. So this, I mean, that's how it should be, I think. So even though I won, I learned more winning than I did, you know. Well, that's not true, but in a different way.
Yeah.
But I just listened to people who knew better. I'm not doing better, but at the same time, holding my principles, because I did not change who I was,
right,
ever. And they had to adjust around that.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And people get mad at me. I'm like, what? I mean, it's my name on the ballot. It's not yours.
Right.
I appreciate your help.
Yeah.
But.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, it takes a certain level of, what's the word in the notes here is resilience. Mm-hmm. Right. So what is that? What is.
Yeah.
What was it that made you do it the third time?
Well, I mean, I did it out of that, in that case, just out of sheer necessity, mm-hmm, because no one had, they weren't the place to run, mm-hmm, for that position. So I was like, why not? Yeah. You know, I'm living here.
Yeah. I've got all this infrastructure built up.
I have the infrastructure. I have amazing supporters who've been with me since day one.
Yeah.
It's kind of a game. I say a game, but it's kind of like a game of addition when it comes to running for office and securing votes. Like you build, and it just happened that the person I was running against was kind of going the opposite direction.
Sure. So sure.
It's kind of a perfect storm, but I had spent 4 years building that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not something you could just like decide on a Tuesday. I'm going to go do this and start up from scratch.
Unless you have a lot of money.
I mean, you could. Sure.
I mean, there are people who ran for city council here that literally just wrote a $200,000 check from
the right. Service. I mean, that's pretty common in the world of politics for, politician that just,
but I will say they lost. And mm-hmm, if you think about it, if you don't have that support, and I hate to talk about money when it comes to this, but that's how our government works. That's how government works
for sure.
That's how it works. But think about it, like even if like you had 1,000 people give you $5,
mm-hmm,
that's more votes than you writing yourself a check for $200,000 when you're going to vote for yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so like totally,
you have to have that. That support, financial support too, even if it's $1 or $5, it means a lot. So,
well, back to that, back to the word resilience.
Resilience.
Yeah. What? I mean, you invoke martial arts, you know. I think, you know, martial arts in that world, in that path, I mean, resilience is one of the, I mean, if you were going to have like four tenets, you know, resilience would be one of them. You have to have some level of that to make any sort of headway.
How do you see that
in that world?
Like, how do you see what would be a specific? I'm asking you just because I'm preparing someday to test for my black belt. I'm just asking you. What do you see as a possible setback in karate? Like that you would need resilience.
Well, so for example, and I think this is universal in any good, it sounds like I'm talking about myself, but if you are training with anyone worth their salt, right, they are going to put you in scenarios where you will fail, mm-hmm. right? But not in a giant crash and burn way, mm-hmm. in tiny little micro failures. Like every class, you're going to experience some level of failure. Mm-hmm. You know, in karate, it's, or in what we do, let's just take mm-hmm. one, you know, one realm of it. You practice your kata and mm-hmm. some element isn't right.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. Okay.
And it gets fixed and you learn to deal with that. You learn to deal with the critique. You learn to deal with, it wrong. You learn to deal with doing it in front of people wrong and, right. and overcoming that fear. Mm-hmm. Jiu-jitsu, you know, you get submitted.
Right.
You know, and it's those, you know, you get submitted over and over and over until one day you don't. And you're like, ooh.
I can actually do
that. Yeah. Maybe it's you know, sparring. You lose and lose and lose and lose and lose. Mm-hmm. Nobody really loses in sparring, but, you know, you're not very good. And then one day you're like,
you can land a punch on somebody.
I'm not that bad anymore, you know. Yeah, so I think martial arts is sort of, you know, it rides on the shoulders of a lot of resilience training.
Okay, I see that. I was thinking like you fail a test, a ring test.
That would be,
which is like probably a huger thing.
I think so. And I think if you are coached and prepared properly, you wouldn't be in a scenario where you would.
Yeah.
But I mean, different people, you know, different people walk a different path.
Yeah.
You know, you could be the type of person that, you know, you're not very open and communicative. And then that's kind of where all that shows up.
Right.
You know, it could be there, but that's what I see that. Yeah. Whereas like, you know, a political thing, there is a one day of the year where we go vote and then we stay up all night and count mm-hmm. numbers and you find out whether all the work you did worked or not. You know, to build and build and build and build and then either pass, fail, that takes a level of resilience.
On a one day. Well, every day is... And we talked a lot during my campaign, like every day had its highs and lows mm-hmm. because it moves so fast, mm-hmm. you know, and
yeah, very much.
So and it's kind of addicting. If that's your personality.
Yeah, which is absolutely.
Why I love it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I kind of thrive in that.
Yeah, right.
Trying to think two or three steps ahead and then thinking of every scenario. Like I'm constantly thinking like 10 different ways right. to do something. And especially like within a campaign, like you have to be on top of your shit.
Yeah.
Every day.
Do you think it's just the way you look at it?
What do you mean?
Like it's just your, like where you put, I mean, because we know a lot of people who you and I alone have trained with people, mm-hmm. thousands of people. Not necessarily karate, I'd say hundreds, at least 100.
Oh, yeah.
Who have just not been able to overcome whatever that thing is. You know, whether it's just their schedule, whether it's just their internal drive, whether it's, you know, adversity of some kind, you know, any mm-hmm. kind of adversity, mm-hmm. people usually crumble.
Most people
do.
We talk about that a lot, yeah.
So what is it? Is it just the perspective you put things in, you know, that, I mean, I think it is. I think if you kind of have to put things in a scale, you know.
Yeah. I guess it's like, it's how you frame. I think in my head, like, it's how you frame things, like working out or mm-hmm. whatever. It's just something I do.
Right.
I'm not going to let anything get in the way of that. Mm-hmm. If I have 10 minutes or 20 minutes, like I had 20 minutes last night. Right. So I did a hard work. I'm like, I'm going to get it in. Like, I don't know. I just don't make excuses for myself.
Yeah.
Because I want to live as, and I said, when we first started the gym, we talked a lot, like, what's our ethos? Like, what are we trying to accomplish here? Mm-hmm. What kind of members do we want? And I think this still remains true, but our goal, my goal with my personal training clients or members is like, listen, I want to live as long as I can on my own.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm going
to
do that.
I want to be able to go get groceries and go to the bathroom and get in and out of bed myself. So to me, I think of this literally as like a very long-term thing.
Yeah.
And I don't let challenges or setbacks hold me down too much. Mm. You got to pivot sometimes, like injuries or whatever. But I just don't see, no one's going to stop me from not doing something. I don't know. Like, don't get in my way. I'm very sometimes stubbornly focused on things. But
well, you've never really been one to worry too much about, at least from what I see, you don't really worry too much about what you look like to other people. I mean, obviously everyone does, but I mean, at the end of the day, you're kind of like, I'll give it a shot.
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at who's running things.
Yeah.
Anything's better than that.
Right.
I mean, that's anything.
Yeah.
A lot of organizations.
Surprisingly, the bar's pretty low.
A lot of companies.
Yeah.
A lot of nonprofits. A lot of government. A lot of whatever. They're in the having different perspectives. There's no one way to look at anything.
Yeah.
And so why not you? Especially when it comes to your body. Like,
how much of that is confidence?
I think quite a bit, because I think you have to have confidence to be okay with failing.
Yeah.
Like I fail all the damn time. Like,
right.
I screwed up Bo too Monday night.
Yeah.
I didn't do it completely right.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh shit. Like I need to get in here and do hours of weapons. Like, and I'll do that this weekend.
Yeah.
But it's just like, okay, Heather, you know, get on your shit.
You're not getting kicked out of the program.
No, but
because you messed up one thing.
I did one thing, but that's something I like. That's a standard I put on myself.
Yeah. We talk a lot about when we get coffee or whatever, you and I often talk about like ego and arrogance. Mm-hmm. And confidence, and how they're all related.
They are.
But they're not exactly the same thing.
I know, that's hard.
And some of it is a tool set.
Yeah.
That you can sort of deploy when you need to. And some of it is like, to be avoided.
So where is that line between confidence and ego?
Yeah. And then the flip side of it is I think we're talking about the flip side of it is fear. Like fear of failure specifically.
Yeah.
You know, not because this is what Aaron and I were talking about the other day. It's not necessarily fear, because there are different types of fear. There's fear of failure, but there's also like fear of, you know, falling out of an airplane.
Fear of death.
Like, that's a different thing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about like that thing that makes you not take that step because of, you know, ego, arrogance, and confidence, and in whatever direction those things are. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's like a Venn diagram, you know.
If you think about like,
you kind of want it to be like the perfect mix.
Yeah. I wonder if, to me it seems, and maybe it is a little bit of ego, but in order to like get better at something, typically you need to be around people who know more than you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For instance, like maybe you want to go for your next job or promotion.
Yeah.
And you don't know how to get there.
Right.
You just sit there and be like, well, I don't know how to do this. Or do you like go to your manager or mentor and be like, listen, like this is my plan. How do I do this?
Yeah, how do I get there?
Like, how do I do this?
Right. Give me some steps.
Yeah. Or say, hey, you know, I'm really shitty at running. Mm-hmm. Coach, like, how do I get better at running? We're probably gonna say go fucking run. But maybe we
a little simpler than you.
Like, hey, let me write a month program for you. Do this and I'll write you more. 9 times out of 10, they're not going to do it. But you got to lead a horse to water. But if you're asking for help, well, you need to ask for help. Well, you like understand that you don't know everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's where ego and like having the confidence to go to someone who's, you know, knows more than you is. That can be a little scary. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, isn't it? There's so much into the stuff.
There is. So many lines.
Well, like,
across.
I always think about it because I'm before doing any of the, you know, martial arts or CrossFit stuff or any of that, I was still am a graphic designer. And So when I entered the industry back in 1996, 97,
and pencils.
Yeah, we were. No, the internet was in its infancy. You know, we were learning how to put things on the internet. So there was a certain amount, and then as I started my company 20 years ago, building websites, you need a certain amount of ego and arrogance when someone comes to you and says, "I need this thing."
Yeah.
And you go, "Sure, we'll figure it out." Knowing full well,
Never done before.
No idea what you're talking about.
That happens a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
it's kind of like you're building the bus and putting the wheels on at the same time.
It's an industry where I've been lucky enough to be able to do that. Because in certain industries, you know, say healthcare, although sometimes they kind of do that. So that's not a good analogy, but
I don't think that happens very often though. They're not going in there and like developing a new thing for a brain tumor or something on the fly. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
But well, I don't know. Maybe surgery. They're just like, I don't know. We'll cut it out and see if they die. But you get my point.
Yeah,
it's one where I was kind of able to do that, but still, you know, the stakes were there. I mean, I had to get paid. Sure, I had to do the thing in order to get paid. And if I got halfway into it and realized,
I can't do this.
Shit, I can't do it. Like, I don't get paid. And I make people mad because they've been waiting for months and weeks for me to do it. So there's a certain amount of that you needed. But then you also needed a certain amount of humility to, like, ask people for help, to do, you know, it's part of the research, to ask for more time or all that stuff. That's an amazing thing. And when you think about applying that to other areas.
And you're giving up control a little bit too.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing it yourself. I mean, I do know people who like are one-stop shop, but you have to work with other people.
Yep.
So you got to trust other people. So you're kind of relinquishing.
In the back of your mind, you know, they don't know what they're doing either.
No. You're all just kind of figuring it out. Yeah.
Especially developers.
Oh gosh, the worst. I'm just kidding.
So I mean, what is that thing? What is that thing that lets some people sort of take that step and then it's like freezes some people right in their tracks? You know, I think it's that. I think it's an equal mix of arrogance, ego and humility, or you want to ego. You could use confidence. I mean, it could be the same thing, but I think it is.
Scared.
Yeah. I mean, I think the word ego gets thrown around a lot in a negative way.
Yeah.
But I think it actually can be a good tool.
I think it's also who you hang out with.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, for sure.
If you have people who just like playing video games all day.
For sure.
And you just sit in your ass and drink all night.
Yeah,
and
for
watch
sure.
Netflix. Like, that's going to be really hard to change your, how you put your time. You know, that's very hard to do. Imagine living in like a friend circle or family like that.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be very hard to change.
It would, yeah. And they're pulling you down at the same time.
But that's your choice. You know? I mean, going back to like campaigns, I could say that. And not with the people I was working with, because I had amazing help. But like, I've seen some folks and I'm like, they're just like falling apart. And I'm like, that's your choice. And maybe that's kind of blunt, but like, you know, that's up to you.
Right.
You are in control of your own destiny in that area. Like, cut them loose. Do what you got to do.
Yeah. How many times have we had people? Well, here's an example. Like a lot of times, and I'm sure you've dealt with this too, and it's along the same lines of what you're talking about, where you're coaching someone on their nutrition, and then they're good for a couple of days, and then they say, well, I went to a family thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then I didn't want to eat their, you know, pasta salad. And they all got mad at me. So I ate it.
Yeah.
Like that, like, it's like peer pressure, but like negative. It's like they're pulling me down, you know?
Some people don't want you to do well.
Yeah.
I mean, that includes your family.
Yeah. And it might not be conscience. It might not be like,
no,
they consciously want you to get fat or be bad, but it's just like a subconscious, like their emotions because you're rejecting this one thing.
Right. Like, well, that's their own ego. I mean,
yeah, sure.
There's a reason why I talk to certain family members and not, you know, I mean, Either you're with me or you're not. What's that?
Either you're with me or against me.
Yeah, that's right.
It's with Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, that's my
song. So I want to talk about resilience, though. So, I mean, you know, you have to be pretty resilient to give it a third go, mm-hmm. I think. What are some ways? I mean, it could be your physical training or the mental work or whatever. What are some ways that you build resilience? Or is it something that you even do, like, consciously?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
Because we both like David Goggins a lot.
We do.
We both sort of call out David Goggins a lot.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of...
He will preach resilience.
I think it's kind of getting a little hard. Well, he says stay hard.
He says stay hard, yeah.
I don't really know that, but it's kind of just being like having the mindset of...
He talks about callousing the mind.
Yeah, I think that's it. Like, it's just kind of, it's not saying, it's not doing something flippantly.
Yeah.
You know, not taking it seriously, but at the same time, it's just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
So kind of like, why not?
Yeah.
Let's do it. And right. then it's also giving it your all.
Yeah. Oh, you have. Yeah. Well, that's a minimum.
I mean, but that's the only way you're going to ever get better. And then there's always times just to show up. That's fine. But it is definitely just being like, nothing is going to get in your way.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of spirit I think I have of just like, nothing's going to stop me.
Mm-hmm.
If there is, then you know, I'll just step over and keep walking, you know?
Hmm.
And then also just understand that you're going to have external
people
and things try to stop you.
Right.
And to me, it's a lot.
They're the enemy.
Well,
we're talking about mindset here.
I mean, it's a lot of visualization.
Yeah.
I think I've shared some visualization things that I think about what I... You know, going to the state house or and working on projects or putting my neck out there for some pretty controversial things or whatever. Not even controversial, but just like calling people out.
Right.
People don't like that after all.
No, they do not.
People don't like that. But
they don't like you to mess with their world.
What I think is it's been very interesting my short time to see that if you do stay on that path and not let that get you down and speak the truth and keep moving forward is that shit comes back around. Yeah. And it has so fast. And like just the 9 months I've been serving, I'm like, oh, wow. You know, like it, and I'm not going to talk about specifics or name names, but like people have been forced to resign.
Yeah, it does.
People are being, you know, looked into. Yeah. I mean, it's all these things. It's all coming back. And I think just being truthful and being confident in your position is helpful. But not let things get in your way. It's hard to do, I think. Not for me, but I'm sure it's hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't always been like that, though.
Yeah, right.
I mean, in high school, I was like the quietest person in school.
Yeah.
But I was very observant. But I was also friends with everybody.
Right.
So I just kind of like talked to everybody and was like, oh, okay, what's going on? Talked to the emos. I was like, well, I was also a jock and in chorus, but I sat with all the people who dressed in black all day. You know, I was just like, I was kind of like in every kind of group.
Right.
I found people interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know why I brought that up.
No, it's fine.
I think it was just very reserved. I didn't know who I was.
I think we're talking about failure and we're specifically talking about fear of failure. Mm-hmm. I think authenticity plays a big part in that because I know a lot of people and I've asked people to sit down with me like we are right now and talk and they won't. And I think honestly, and you know, we're not naming names, but I think honestly, it's because that balance that they strike every day between who they really are and who they try to produce to the world,
for sure.
They can't manage that for an extended amount of time. And I think
yeah.
I think that's a thing with people.
That's a good point.
You've got to see that every day in politics.
I do. And I've had...
It's got to be exhausting.
No, I actually find it kind of encouraging because like Tuesday night, this this event, and I gave a talk, and I had people coming up to me afterwards being like, thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying, you know, what everyone's thinking. Thank you. Like, I'm going to do that too. So to me, it's kind of a lot of times what you're thinking and not saying is what other people are thinking and not saying.
Yeah, right.
You know,
sure.
I found that in politics. Like a lot of times people are thinking the same dang thing. But it just takes that spark of, you know,
right.
I guess.
Somebody just saying it.
Being, I guess, believing in yourself.
Yeah.
And you are a good person.
Right.
Not trying to inflict harm on anybody. And, but you're trying to do what's right.
Yeah.
And just
mm-hmm.
and equitable and all those things. And if you can, check off those things, then probably what you're thinking is right on track. And what should be said and what we need more than the world.
Right.
So whoever that is, they should just come on here and just speak from the heart. And I remember first I was told from Allison, I'm like, well, what do I do? It's like, it's dark. I can't go canvassing. She's like, you need to sit with your ideas and your thoughts for these topics and just start writing them out.
That's probably a good exercise.
Well, I just sat there at a screen being like, shit. Like, I don't know what.
What do I think?
I don't know what. And I didn't know what. Yeah. And I think that's the whole part of like campaigning and having to express what you think.
Yeah.
So many times.
Yeah,
we're not used to doing that.
No, we're not. And we're definitely not used to being tested on that stuff either.
Right.
That's what I've had on this show and another show I produce, you know, we talk to entrepreneurs and we often talk about that term entrepreneur. And it was me and Shaquise. He's been on this show a few times. One of my favorite people to talk to.
Same. My cousin.
We talk about that word. And he was saying, and I'll get it wrong. I have to go back and listen to it. He was saying something about like, well, he doesn't really consider you an entrepreneur until you have tried something and messed it up and then have tried something else.
Yeah.
Because you need that. Those things you were just talking about, like sitting down, figuring out what is it I do believe in?
Right.
And then carrying that.
Yeah.
Like that's step one.
Yeah. That's hard to do.
And then experience is then. Living that and having to defend it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
We're not defend it, but exemplify it. Like, you know, it's like,
yes.
It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. You've agreed to like work out and eat well, but like when you're home on a Saturday night, do you drink a beer and order that pizza? When you're working on your goals, you know?
Yeah.
Like, nobody's looking. What are you doing? You know, like that sort of thing. Like,
yeah,
carrying that is one thing, but then living it when everyone is telling you that's the wrong way to live, you know?
Well,
you're like, no, I think it's the right way to live.
This like, so true. It's being battle tested.
Yeah.
And I mean, battle tested, like, and thank you for those
for real
fight for our country. But like,
yeah.
Imagine going out to close to 10,000 doors canvassing for a campaign and having to tell what you believe in 10,000 times to people.
And defend it. Because I'm sure there's some crazy people.
About half the time.
Yeah.
No, they're just going to question you.
Sure. Well, it's why you're
I'm at the door. I'm asking why for their, I mean.
You come to my house, I'm going to ask some questions.
Hey, good. You learn after a certain time. Like at first, I was like, "Gosh, I hope they don't talk to me." I'm being honest. I'm like, I hope they just let me talk, and then I just move along. And I move along. Yeah, I don't want to talk to them. And I try to like, and then eventually I leaned into it, and now, I mean, I can talk to anybody, and like I'll just be like, burr, 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 like just being like berated, and I'll just sit there and be like, okay,
yeah,
like I can take a lot. I can take a lot now. I can take a beating physically and like.
Right.
Mentally, when it comes to defending what you believe in, because I've had to do it so many times.
Well, that's your thing then. I mean, so that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. I didn't think about that until.
You are a door-to-door canvassing Goggins.
I am. But it was interesting in the talk I gave Tuesday night. I had a couple lines in there about entrepreneurship. And I took it out because I'm like, no one's going to understand what that is. But this is what I had in there, but I took it out. I said something like, you know, someone can have a good idea. Someone can have a maybe for like a neighborhood or for government or whatever, but that's fine. But you have to be able to execute it. And that's what I've like proven in my time. And I'm proud to say that, like, you have to be able to execute.
Right.
You can't just like having a great idea is saying you want to, you know, lose 20 pounds and whatever.
Yeah. But then it's good.
You have to do the work.
Yeah. Being inspired is great.
That's great. That's a great first step.
Yeah.
But then, so I was like, please have great ideas.
Yeah.
And people will talk on Facebook all the time and like things like that.
But will you do anything?
We've talked a lot about that. Just like, just garbage dump on Facebook. And
how many books have you read where you didn't do a damn thing that the book said you should do? Right. I mean, most books.
Most books.
I mean, that's how the way it is. Yeah. You know?
But then do it. Actually follow steps and do it.
Put something in place.
Yeah.
That's the hard part. But that's entrepreneurship. Everybody's got a great idea.
Hey, and that's but what I was like.
Execution is 90%.
Like,
yeah.
Like I saw my idea for Vesta startup. I still claim is my own because no one else has done it yet.
Yeah.
So I was like, someone do this, please. Because I would like to use that myself,
right,
this app.
Right.
That I'll eventually do in my spare time. But it's so you can register for gifts at local stores.
Yeah, that was a cool idea.
It's still a great idea. Yeah. No one's done it. Every once in a while, like once a year, I'll go and look like, let's just see. And I'll kind of poke around and like, nope, like, no, no one's done it yet.
Yeah.
Like, cause it's going to be really hard to do.
Yeah. It's a lot of groundwork.
A lot of groundwork. But I'm like, please, someone do it. Someone execute it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great idea.
That's the thing, right?
Not execute it.
Yeah.
And I admit that I have not done it.
Do you think, I mean, you were talking about that, like that, the door to door, one on one, in a way, you're sort of also, I mean, the first two attempts at running for office. I mean, it's sort of like, if you look at it through the lens of a startup, it's sort of like fail fast, fail often. I mean, on a micro scale.
It kind of is, yeah.
And you're kind of like experimenting in a way, like learning. You're not going to change who you are, but the way you tell that story has to change and evolve, right? To make sure it's the right pattern, the right message. Do you feel, and this is not necessarily related, this is a political question now, but it sure, and I'm just going to make a statement, it sure seems like when you look at the internet and all the crazy people in office, it sure seems like they lack that. Like they should probably do some door-to-door work.
Yeah, they haven't probably knocked a door since
you can kind of tell
their first or second election, or they'll go out like once a year and knock their cousin's door down the street, get a picture.
But you can kind of tell.
Yeah.
You kind of hear it.
They're out of touch.
Yeah.
And I say that a lot.
Yeah.
They're completely out of touch.
Right.
And just the way our.
And I get it. There's like a security issue versus a thing, but you could make it. You could do it.
That's your job.
You could do it.
I'm sorry. I don't care if you're a congressman or,
you
know, or a city council person.
Yeah, it could be done.
At least some. Like, I understand like your scope of like who you represent.
You call people on the phone.
You could do that too.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely. You know, I mean, you see that from your, especially federal elected officials. Like,
yeah.
Just completely out of, like, just zero.
Yeah.
I mean.
It's all one-way communication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, we're in the possible brink of a government shutdown, and like I know friends of friends who may not get deployed.
Yeah.
They're not gonna get a paycheck after next week.
Right.
I mean, this shit's like literally happening, and it's all because of political pride, the ego, for sure.
Well, for sure.
I mean, immensely. They're not concerned about, you know, potentially millions of people not getting a paycheck because of their party or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Really makes me mad.
Yeah, well,
but
wanted to bring that up.
What I'm saying is, I'm not gonna go down any further, but just out of touch. Like, go knock. They need to go knock a couple thousand doors.
Yeah, probably change their perspective
and tell people what you really want to do to this certain time thing and one specific topic.
Right.
Go knock 2,000 women's doors and see
how it holds up.
See how it holds up.
Probably not very well. Probably gonna hear some stuff.
Yeah, which is probably why they don't.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole different podcast.
My gosh. Because then they're saying certain things because they get money from certain people. It's all a cycle.
Or the people who control what stories they hear.
That too.
You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh, there's so many.
Yeah, there's like, a whole lots of levers.
Oh my gosh.
So.
Oh, it gets me mad.
So anyway, in the entrepreneur world, mm-hmm. fail early, fail often, but always fail forward. It's John Maxwell. That's the kind of coined a lot of the mm-hmm. agile and lean in the software development world. Yeah. Where some of that comes from.
I guess that's very true.
But here's where I'm going with this. And we think about authenticity, and I'm specifically thinking about, you know, you running for office over the past 4 years, mm-hmm. thinking about authenticity, thinking about that concept, mm-hmm. failing fast, failing often, failing forward. At what point was it you were focused on just a short-term goal versus like a vision of who you want to be? And do you think,
oh my gosh,
and that could be politics, but it could be anything, right?
Yeah.
And there's a martial arts angle there too. Mm-hmm. A lot of fear of failure stems. It's like you feel it most when it's like in that moment, like right before you step on stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I find in those instances, if I put it in the scope of like my life, it becomes smaller, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And that was a long-winded way of getting there, I think. Mm-hmm. Thanks for letting me talk. I mean, is that something you're conscious of? Do you use that?
I think so.
A friend of mine actually taught me that a long time ago, because I was really nervous. I was giving this talk and was really nervous about it. And he was like, 30 minutes after you're done, they're not going to remember who the hell you were. You know, don't worry about it, bro. You know? And I was like, huh, he's right. They don't care.
You know, I think.
Because I was the slot right before lunch, too.
And
it was, I'm sure it was. They were like, shut the fuck up. I'm hungry. Yeah.
Food or drinks. Yeah. That's like the worst time. Or back and break.
Yeah.
Worst time. I think I'll just use the example, the talk I gave Tuesday night. Mm. I had a planning call with my team, just say, hey, like this is what I want to bring across. This is my long-term goal for why I want to be talking about this. Because I have like a plan, and I'm not going to share it now, but like for a longer term project, I'll call it. And those are the people I need to be talking to. So I wanted to lay the groundwork for that. Mm-hmm. So there was some definitely long-term like planning into that, even for a 5-minute talk with this, because I had a captive audience. I'm like, why the hell not? Mm-hmm. So I had a plan. We talked through it like an hour call about this 5-minute talk and how important it was. And then writing the talk and then practicing the talk. And then at that point, you have a plan, you have a long-term plan, mm-hmm. and then you execute it. It's five minutes.
Right.
It's literally 5 minutes. You've practiced it. It's accomplishing it's one step closer to your long-term goals. Mm-hmm. Then you can live in the moment and you can enjoy it. If that makes sense.
100%.
So I think it's as simple as the things that even like I do as a politician, it may seem just like kind of, oh, look at her just reacting. Yeah. No, that's been months. Like I've been planning for that. Mm. So it seems easy, but it's not.
Yeah. You're waiting for that.
Same with working out or whatever. Like it, mm-hmm. like, oh, Heather's always been like that. Shit. No, you know? So it's because of the work that you have, you don't see. It's like LeBron James. He works out so much.
Right.
He practices. Mm-hmm. And then he shows up and he hits the buzzer. Like, it's not just happenstance.
Yeah, that's the, you know, age old, like, we're a success overnight. Overnight success.
A lot of people think that.
Yeah, I mean.
But
I was just reading a story about a dude he's in the top, like, 5 most popular podcasts. And he was like, yeah, I just got there. But, you know, I've been doing this podcast 3 days a week for the past 8 years.
Yep.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, in 5 of those, I didn't make a dime. You know, right. And it's like, wow, you know, that's a hard slog. But you know, in perspective of like his lifelong work, it's not really, you know, doesn't really mind having a bad episode now and then.
Yeah. Well, you're always learning. You're being resilient.
Yeah.
And adapting. Yeah, you know, you're and you're not taking anything for granted either. That's another big thing, is like not taking moments where you can learn and use something to make yourself better later on.
Yeah.
Or help you with your goals later on.
Right.
Like take advantage of it.
Yeah, that's why like for me, like being a teacher or, you know, instructor, sensei or whatever, like I'm always looking for things that can be used to help someone. That's really the guise of it.
Yeah.
Because it really helps me.
Sure.
Like I consume it first.
I mean,
it's very selfish, but in the end it's given.
But at the same time, we respect that you do it too.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
I mean, right. You want someone who works out and does what you.
Right.
Nothing worse than someone telling you how to do something.
Yeah.
That they've never done before.
Yeah.
Like my volleyball coach
right.
in college.
Right.
Loved him. Never played volleyball a day in his life,
right.
But he was a collegiate two coach. I'm like, wait, what? How did this happen? There are plenty of other women who have played volleyball here yeah. who would be phenomenal coaches.
Right. Why you know? Are you here? Yeah.
So
yeah, well,
anyway,
that's a whole thing.
There was always a tinge of like, you cannot, I would beat your ass every day.
Yeah.
You know?
That happens too.
I think that's why he has to do a lot of football drills.
It's what he knows.
Because it's what he, and he was good at them.
Well, there's, got a little time left. There's these four things, and I wanted to just run them by you. You haven't seen them yet. It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
And it's sort of like ways and techniques and things to help you sort of frame things in ways of practicing that can help you maybe overcome, you know, if there's something where you have this fear of failure that's keeping you from trying something. Mm-hmm. I thought these were four cool things, and they're worded weird, so I'm going to try to like, okay. So one of them, and the, probably the easiest one, is do regular retrospectives to learn from your failures and even your successes.
Yeah.
Do you do that?
Yeah.
I don't do it enough.
I tend to do it when I have an uneasy feeling about something.
Okay. Explain.
Like, let me try to think of a certain example. It's a lot of times like the way I said something to someone. I think you talked about that. You have some of that. Like, just you're like, ooh, did I say the wrong? Did I say it right?
I personally have anxiety over that world.
So
thing,
I tend to get like pings, and that's like gut check, you know, kind of like, okay,
yeah.
And then I'll talk to five people, and I'll be like, what do you think about this? Like, what do you think about? And they're like,
just get a general consensus.
Basically, I'm a crowdsourcer. Another entrepreneur thing.
Yeah,
is like, I'm like, hey, what'd you think? And they're
right.
Then I'll. Either they'll be like, that's pretty shitty, or that was great.
I was a dick. Sorry.
And I was like, ah, fuck. You know, so
I mean,
then you learn how to, you know, adjust.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I forget the original question.
There's
I forget what it was.
Yeah, but that in a sincere way.
Yeah.
Not like, hey, lazy web, what's the best place to have dinner? That's not what we're talking about.
Oh no.
We're talking about sincerely caring
and
you know
doing
those retrospectives or crowdsourcing, whatever it is, or pre-perspective. You could do that too.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that could help you. That could help you kind of review something that you didn't like or made you feel uncomfortable. Another one is this is kind of a startup-y world thing, but make a proposal and ask for objections. And it's maybe a different way to frame something. So not necessarily, because a lot of times you'll show someone something. Maybe it's something you made or you wrote or a decision. Like, I want to go do this. And you're really looking for validation. You're really looking for that person or the people you're asking to be like, attaboy. But sometimes they go, that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. And then you're like crushed, right? And then that can spiral or whatever. Or maybe you're afraid of that. You're afraid of not getting the validation. I think this is a cool way to look at it in terms of like pitch it, expecting their objections, and then you're responding expecting it. Like you know, not like being negative minded about something, but like, you know, like I expect objections.
Yeah.
So that I can use them to make my thing better. And that's why I'm asking you to get those things to make the thing better.
Yes.
I mean, I think we all do that.
I get that.
I mean, if you're smart, I think.
But I think I do. I have I think of a couple people who they just like, they're like, here it is. Great. I'm like, ooh, no.
And all they want is a pat on the back. Yeah, that's really what they want.
That comes with, I think, humbling a little bit.
Yeah.
To know that you're going to be like, no.
This is probably very arrogant of me, but something over the years, past couple years, I honestly just don't ask people. If like I kind of, and that's why I put this one on the list, because I do that where if I'm like, if I just want validation from this, I just don't ask people.
But you do. We've talked about some stuff about this.
Maybe.
But I think.
Maybe I'm not being authentic right now.
You're not. Because you've asked me for, but maybe you're looking for validation. I don't know.
Sometimes I don't know what the hell I'm asking for.
Oh, that too.
Yeah.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. I'm not very smart.
It's also like awareness.
Yeah.
Like to know. Why you're doing something.
Yeah.
I used to do it all the time. I used to need a ton of.
Yeah.
And I didn't know.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. Why am I doing the things I'm doing? Because I need this
right
thing in my life. And
then once you recognize that, then you might do it less, or you might, nothing worse than, you know.
Or at least realizing you need it.
Right.
That's a thing I have to fill.
It's kind of like when we're doing the Iron Yard together. Trying to teach folks how to do their own troubleshooting at first before coming to like a 10-year professional.
Just asking me,
like Google.
Yeah, spend some time on this first.
Think about it. Like
expend some energy.
And then come.
Yeah.
So I think that time gets a little shorter, hopefully.
Yeah.
Or the less you
will. Yeah, you can get faster seeing things.
And then you also learn.
All right. Yeah. I agree. Along those lines, I think... The next two, I thought these were cool. This might help somebody. Like looking at the way you look at something. Decisions are experiments that are expected to prove you wrong. So look at the way you're making decisions about things. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to, decide whether to do something or not do it, look at that actual choice between those two things as the experiment.
Yeah.
Like, what if I do it? What if I don't do it? And then let me do both, because not doing it's really easy. You just don't do it. But then like doing this is like a thing to see if this is a thing I want to do. Right. Just kind of changing that frame of the way you're,
Yeah. I guess being more playful about stuff. Yeah,
not living in this like I think we were talking about, society in general. But like I feel like everybody lives in this like binary world now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking politics. So you could talk about left and right and how it's like.
Yeah.
Everything's pushed out of the middle, but like
I think
that's kind of affecting us. Or maybe that's a result of how we're living. I'm not sure, but like everything's not yes or no. It's like you're not right or wrong necessarily, like you can sort of live in the middle. You don't have to have it all or nothing,
And that's kind of I don't want to say again, like not taking things too seriously, but like,
right. Like you can try it and not be good at it the first time you try it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
That's okay.
No one cares.
I mean, you're probably going to care the most unless it's like, but yeah, it is like definitely a gray area, but, I do think it is just like looking at things in a certain way to, I guess to me, I like learning. So like just going in, leaning into that, like leaning into why you're doing something. I guess you're going back to your why, like have a reason for
a larger scale reason.
And then stuff you just don't want to do.
Yeah.
You got to frame it differently.
I think so. Like, well, then that's the last one on the list was a two-way door versus a one-way door, which is most decisions in life are reversible. I mean, there are always things that aren't reversible, but like most decisions you make, it's not a one-way door. You're not going to walk through it and never be able to come back again. I mean, you can try something and be like, well, I didn't like that. Never do it again. Mm-hmm. That's cool too. Like look at these things that way, like look at it in terms of like, I'm sure the first time you ran for office, you were like, God, if I lose this.
No.
I'll never do this again. But clearly you didn't.
I didn't. I don't. I you never.
Know? Like, so what? Well, so no, I'll do it again.
I had some stipulations.
Sure. Well,
I was kind of like, if I do this again, it's going to be this, this, this.
Right. This is how I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
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 That's cool.
All three. I mean, all three times I had that. But the first time I was like, oh, I actually didn't know anything the first time.
Right. I mean, that's, I mean, think that's the lesson.
Like, I mean, I'm like, okay, well. But it is, you know, putting yourself out there and whatever that is we need people's perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's like running for office. But I'm thinking of just like, I don't know, even working out and stuff like that. It's, you got to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
And know that, you know, maybe doing jujitsu is not your thing.
Right.
I don't know. Just
for sure. Not, yeah.
We talk about this a lot, but just do something.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm not sure we solved everyone's problem.
That was a good talk.
Yeah. Good idea.
Got my brain.
I hope
brain
so.
Turning here.
Good. Mm-hmm. Well, cool. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to stop.
I hope this helps people.
Me too.
Man.
Well, let me know. Like, you know, if you're not signed up for the email, sign up for the email. You can go to wherever you're at. Like, I don't think you can do an Apple, but you go to Spotify or the website, whatever, and send me a note. Let me know where you have overcome failure. Yeah. Or overcome your fear of failure. Or
this.
If you're stuck, hit me a note. We'll read it and we'll get back with you.
That.
So yeah. Thanks, Heather.
Thanks for having me.